You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Your Dose of Death Podcast. As always, I'm Lauren. Thank you for bearing with us on the little week-long break we took. Just wanted to kind of hit the reset button and get ready for what is a crazy week coming up. That is WrestleMania weekend. Feels like everyone and their mother will all be traveling to Philly for WrestleMania nights one and night two. But there's a lot more than just those two things. There's a lot of great independent wrestling, especially deathmatch wrestling. And of course, this wouldn't have been possible without my good dear friend Chris Kohlberg coming back on the show, because we're saving the best for last. The best show, in my opinion, of the entire weekend. Sunday, what is it, April? Gosh, I'm losing this. April 7th. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm losing dates. RPW Ruthless Pro Wrestling presents Miasma. This card is loaded from top to bottom. And of course, I had to have Chris back on to cover this entire show. Make sure you get them tickets. Make sure you come out to the H2O Center. Just saying, it just might be better than WrestleMania Night 2. Actually, it probably will be better than WrestleMania Night 2. But that is aside. Chris, it's been a hot minute. I mean, me and you have had a busy month here. I mean, of course, we just had the show at Berwyn Eagles, getting ready for this. Yeah. How's it been over these last few weeks, you getting ready for this show?
Stressful, you know? I mean, this is a bigger one, and we're much further than we normally are from our home base. So, you know, it's getting a lot of things lined up and ready to go. Make sure that we got all the fuckery and accoutrement we're going to need, you know, hauling it all up there and all that fun stuff. But yeah, we're all good to go. We're all ready. We're all pumped. We got a bunch of really interesting stuff planned that hopefully people won't see coming. So expect a really fucking chaotic night.
And for the last night of all the festivities, that's exactly what we need. So a little chaos to end the insanity that already is WrestleMania weekend. And this ain't your first rodeo out east, but you guys have gotten used to being out east a little bit, and you're only going to get better. So let us get into this absolutely loaded car. There's so much to talk about here. I want to talk about, of course, to start off, this was the first match announced for the show. And of course, it's sponsored by my good friend, our good friend, everyone's good friend, Kings Road Wrestling. The John Wayne Murdoch return to RPW against Japanese deathmatch star Yusaku Ito in a Tokyo Towers Light Tubes death match. This is nuts. This is a nuts way to start the announcements. It was batshit nuts when I saw it. I was like, oh, we're doing Tokyo Towers, which, considering if you've seen those in person, they take up half the height of the H2O Center. These are big boys. So getting them in is hard enough, but making sure these actually break and all that crazy shit that comes with it is a whole nother thing. I mean, what's going through your head as this match is set to happen?
You know, when I was putting this all together, there's a lot of really big names and personalities on this thing, and I really wanted to play into certain people's strengths, really make the matches feel different, because, you know, if it's just everything in the kitchen sink every single match, they all kind of start flowing together, and then you kind of lose what's special to that match. And, you know, I really wanted things to be kind of drastically different. And one of the things, when I was playing this out, and, you know, Murdoch had also said, like, you know, hey, I mean, that, I think that's a good idea, was the Tokyo Towers and bundles, you know, and, it's definitely great visually as well. And it'll definitely give a good flavor to what will be absolute banger of a match. I mean, those guys are going to murder each other. They both go for blood every single time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good return match. I've always thought Murdoch has a great spot in RPW. I think my last memory of him in RPW was literally when he obliterated Don Georgie in the back before the four-way, one of the I've never laughed so hard in my life seeing a ring announcer get blasted by a tube. And just Murdoch's like, I'm sick and tired of hearing from this guy. So Murdoch's always out for blood. But this is no different, though. This is a big, big match. And as I said, this is the first match announced. Strong, strong precedent for what is to come. And next up, a match that I did not know. For the longest time, I did not know this guy was going to be in town for Mania Week, but I'm very glad he is. Someone who I've always said like would fit in a different era of deathmatch wrestling, but he just happens to be in this era. Danny Darko returns to the RPW ring against everyone's favorite Aussie, my OG friend, one of everyone's favorite good dudes, Joel Bateman. This is just two dudes who love to drink beer, do stupid shit, and love to do stupid shit to each other. That's the best way to describe this. This is going to be a fun one. I mean, I always said Darko was like a guy who, as I said, he would like retroactively fit in like the 2016-17 eras of deathmatch wrestling. He just happens to be in this era of like the 2020s doing everything he can. I mean, the guy, there's a lot I could say about Darko. Yeah, so it's just been interesting to see Darko come back for this one. What is your thoughts on this match?
You know, Darko, we had last year, we had a great match with him and Tommy, last Mania weekend. So when we were going into this thing, I reached out to him and asked if he was going to be, in town for it. And, you know, he let me know he would be. So I wanted to do something, you know, that kind of is international in both sides and something that couldn't really happen anywhere else. You know, it's one of the things I really like to try to strive for. And, I thought like, what better than two beer swilling, crazy motherfuckers that from a, you know, opposite ends of the world, and then putting them in something that's in a truly kind of fucked up situation that I know that they'll both really have a lot of fun with and get into. And that's the razor boards and panes of glass stipulation.
Yes. Okay. I know it's for, and that's the other thing I like about this show is I like that there's a lot of stips. I like that there's stips. Like there's a narrative with these stips because sometimes, I mean, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but some shows just, it's just like, oh, just throw everything out there and just like, I want a little direction. So I appreciate that a lot. Next up, the RPW world title will be defended here. Atticus Coger, recently newly crowned RPW champion, taking on Jake Crist. Kind of a surprising name here.
You know, when I was putting this together, those guys have very similar styles when it comes to being hybrid wrestlers, very athletic, very fast movers, huge arsenals. And they both also have a lot of respect for each other. And that's, you know, something you don't really get a lot out of Atticus, is respect for a lot of people. But Crist is someone he definitely does respect. And, you know, Crist, he's been with us for a long time, but he hasn't been around in a little while. You know, he's a really busy guy. But, you know, he was kind of an early bird with us, you know, and helping us cement who we are now and, you know, getting our name out there and, you know, helping us draw in the early days. So it's really great to have him back and be bringing him back into the fold. And, you know, before he was doing a lot of death matches, but, you know, the man is a Swiss Army knife of technicality and moves, and I think that this is going to be a hell of a first defense. I mean, this might be a quick title reign for Atticus. We'll see, you know.
Yeah, I the last time I remember him was actually Code Orange in Chicago, your first Chicago show. Yes. It feels so long. That show feels so long ago, just thinking back about it. But yeah, I mean, Jake Crist is a Swiss Army knife, can literally do anything and everything. And I mean, yeah, Atticus might have a short reign here. I mean, it was to everyone's surprise, Mo losing the belt in Chicago, of all things. Who knows? But I like the intrigue here. And then next up, a match that I think everyone will have their eyes on. Clint Margera versus Schlag, the Danny Havoc. I believe this is being called like the Danny Havoc Memorial Match.
Tribute,
yes.
This was something asked for by both guys. They were both very close to him. And they both felt that H2O Center was more than appropriate for him. You know, that he's been memorialized there and he has belts under that promotion and, you know, the banner and all that. And I think both these guys just wanted to kind of pay tribute to their fallen friends. So we're going to recreate some of his better stipulations he's come up with over the years for, you know, Danny's matches, you know. And, you know, they're going to go out there and just kind of pay one hell of an insane bloody tribute to someone they both loved and cared about.
Yeah, and I mean, I believe this is one of the only few places you will see Schlack all weekend. So if you want to see Schlack,
that's it.
Yeah, and once you see him at one of these shows, who knows? But it's a big. This is a really big one, though. I love Danny Havoc. Really, one of the first reasons I got into deathmatch wrestling. And as you said, couldn't have asked for a better place to do this tribute. And this is gonna be incredible. I've always enjoyed Clint's work too. Like Clint, I kept telling everyone, this is the week to watch for Clint Margera. He's doing a lot. He's putting in the work, and this is like the icing on the cake for him.
Yeah, and you know, it's his first time with us, so yeah. I'm really excited to work with him. There's been times where we've come close with it, where he was going to be in the States for, you know, somebody else's promotion. We might have been running a day before or whatever. We tried to work it out, but it never really came out to fruition. So I'm really happy to have him on this, you know, and be able to put him in there with one of our guys like Schlack. You know, it's going to be a fucking insane match, you know?
It is. And then on to a match that has been multiple years in the making. This match, when my jaw dropped when I was ringside clipping Animosity, when Judge Joe Dredd made that call out to the Killdozer, Matt Tremont himself. I remember the days back 3 years ago when Judge Joe Dredd was making those promo clips, calling out Tremont, and nothing came from that. 3 years later, Judge Joe Dredd gets his, what we hope is a crack at the newly formed Killdozer Tremont in a RPW ring. I mean, what does this mean to you to have this match happen? Hopefully, I should say, on Sunday, April 7th.
You know, Matt's been with us a few times, you know, and Dredd has been just on a tear with us ever since King of the Kill. You know, he does have a few losses under his belt, but even the losses were insane matches, and you know, he really went out there and just fucking gave it his all. So this is something that he's been calling out for a while, and you know, I think he just keeps throwing it out in the universe and hoping that it comes back. But you know, Matt hasn't really been that responsive to him, so I think he's taking it as a little bit of sign of disrespect. I know for a while that Joe really looked up to Matt, but I think that has faded, and now it's this is more hard feelings. And those are two real big fucking boys that do not mind really getting in there and fucking getting crazy. You know, some of the craziest matches I've ever seen were Matt Tremont matches. And, you know, Joe brings just that same intensity and hard work. And I can only imagine, you know, what's going to happen between those two. I mean, just think back at the last time we were there for Mania weekend, it was Matt and Dr. Redacted, and they went fucking ballistic. And I can't even imagine where this is going to go.
It just, and the gimmick name for this is just as frenetic as anything, the Typhoon Death Match. Like
Typhoon of Tubes.
Typhoon of Tubes. Like I'm trying to like envision in my head what exactly that means. I don't know. I still cannot tell you to this day. All I know is
third one.
It's the third one.
So if you go back into our back catalog, you can Go watch Mickey Knuckles versus Randy West, the first Typhoon.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to go back. It's just like in my head, I'm like trying to figure out like what the actual fuck is this? And I'm like, okay, now here we go. But either way, this is probably one of my most anticipated matches of the entire weekend. Just anywhere, everywhere and anywhere. It's just, I've been waiting because I remember watching those Judge Joe Dredd promos long time ago. It feels like. When he was calling Tremont every single week, every single time, to no response. And now, here we are 3 years later. Next up, though, a match that feels like some international deathmatch pipe dream for the Kamikaze belt. Remington Roar puts it on the line against Rugged Vic Craig. Vic Craig is a great homie of mine. Been a big fan of this podcast for a very long time. I am so thrilled he's coming to the States for this one. This does terrify me because I have heard murmurs, I'm not going to confirm nor deny, of shark teeth involved. And I think me and you have had these conversations, but I just, that terrifies me. That terrifies me.
I mean, do you want me to confirm or deny, or?
Go ahead. Feel free to answer the questions.
I bought several pounds of shark's teeth per their request. Like I said, every match has to have its own flavor.
Well, that, there you heard it.
You got a carnivore versus fucking a crazy ass New kiwi. Zealand beast, you know?
Yeah, got kiwi deaths. Yeah, you got to embrace the kiwi death when it comes your way. And yeah, I'm a little concerned for my well-being ringside because if those shark teeth go slowed everywhere, you don't know where they're going to end up. But as Chris's reaction says, every man in person for themselves at this point.
You're responsible for your own safety in there.
But no, this is a really cool match. Remington's been on a tear here. I mean, him and Dillinger was great in Animosity. He's defended that belt very well so far. Sky's the limit, it feels like, for Remington. But this is a more unique challenge in front of him, I'd say.
Yeah, I also think it's one of those things where, you know, they really aren't as familiar as they could be going into this, just because, you know, they're working worlds apart, you know, and that could usually lead to some really, really interesting matches, that's for sure, where they're not so overly studied on each other's styles, you know?
Yeah. You just gotta find out, it's on April 7th, how this is gonna go down. Next up was the one you most recently announced, the return of the Red Light District Deathmatch, but this time in tag team form, in the form of Low Life Louie returning to an RPW ring, teaming with Dr. Redacted, the Bald World. Shout out to the Bald World Order. But against Randy West and Schwartzy, a team as all of us saw in Chicago March 2nd, when they're on, they're on. That is a hell of a tag team. They can brawl. They can put together double team maneuvers. They can do it all.
Yeah, I mean, no one is more well seasoned with each other than those two. I mean, they're married outside of this,
of course.
They're used to tag teaming. They're both formerly decorated champions of RPW and have been shown what they're both capable of. You know, Schwartzy being a former kamikaze, Randy being the longest reigning Rust Belt Deathmatch champion. So I think that the Bald World Order has got their hands full going into this thing, but it's also Redacted and Louie, two of the most violent degenerates out there going into this. And, you know, like,
I don't know if Redacted will have any actual reaction to the gimmick itself.
How could you not? That match went viral as shit last year.
It did. It really did. But who knows? It's Dr. Redacted we're talking about here. I don't know what to expect. I just expect a lot of tag team fuckery. If you're going to surpass a match that got you viral last year, it's only fitting to keep it going the next year and to add more insanity to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was so much fun. Why not make it the deluxe version, you know?
The deluxe version. Next up is the RPW Tag Team Championship match with Midwest Scum. Zach Thomas has been kind of working a little solo here the last few months. Held the fort down at Whiteout. Got his comeuppance on one little brat by the name of Christian Napier at Animosity. And Zach Thomas at the end of that match said, let's see if RSP and Vincent Nothing show up to the H2O Center to get these tag team belts. I mean, considering what Zach said, he had some strong words about if even Ricky Shane Page is allowed in the H2O Center.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he actually is. They laid out the challenge, and I put it out there for it to happen. You know, Ricky said he's going to be there, but you can't even fucking trust those guys far, and you can throw a tic-tac. So who knows? I mean, if that's even going to happen, I know that there's a lot of bad blood behind the scenes and that Ricky's not allowed certain places here or there, but you know, the champs put their butts down the line, and if they want to defend them against these guys, they want to defend them against these guys. And I don't see any reason not to give them that match, considering they've been sending their little fucking pipsqueak in there.
Yes.
And fucking matches over, and you know, he fucked Thomas over, and you know, I mean, even Hoodfoot got fucked over in that thing. And then yeah, I mean, the kid comes in here to swing and dick like he's somebody, he's some fucking runt, you know. So if he's they're gonna send their little this fucking kid in there, they need to come show up themselves and, you know, answer to Logan and Thomas.
I mean, the only thing I could potentially think of is just have the Ricky and Vincent just have their little own personal locker room outside the Atrial Center. If they really aren't allowed in the building, just say, you know, this is their call. Just dress us out the damn locker room.
They can come through the front door when it's their time.
Well, we've covered most of this card, but there's one match that we're going to cover here. The last match of this card, I believe, at Animosity, Tommy Vendetta, he defended the Rust Belt Championship against none other than his longtime friend, his pillar tag buddy, Malcolm Monroe III, to what I call just an interesting result. I mean, of course, Tommy successfully defended the belt, but he ruffled a few feathers along the way. Even though I got to give a shout out to Chris Kohlberg's A-plus acting, that thumbs up was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I know it wasn't on the IWTV feed, but just your thumbs up in the back when F3 came out was the funniest thing ever. I'm like, this man's an actor, natural born, A-plus. But now Tommy, as you have signed on, will not be only defending the belt against one person, not two, but three different people in a four-way match for the Rust Belt Championship.
Tommy, you know, ever since King of the Kill has been just ruffling feathers left and right. He's not really been what I would describe as a model champ. No. He's been really hard to deal with. He's been doing a lot of real sleazy, scummy shit in between. And I'm kind of really just sick of it, sick of all his shit. But, you know, as long as he's got that belt, I got to have him around. So why not make it to where everything's stacked against him? Maybe he won't have that fucking belt. I got him going in there with some the most heavyweight talent I could bring in. It's Otis Kogar, Hoodfoot Mo Atlas, who is also not happy about not having that belt anymore. And then Big Lou Nixon.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, if you're just going to line up Tommy for a death sentence, that's the perfect three people you could possibly ask for.
Yeah, I pretty much just put him in a gauntlet because, you know, he doesn't even have to take the pin.
Yeah,
he does that fucking thing. And then him and all his t-shirts can go home and hang out.
They can hang out, do whatever.
Yeah, just chill out, you know. He could fold the one that goes on top of the one he's wearing.
And, I mean, mind you, Lou Nixon has a humongous weekend coming up. Like, that would be a very nice thing. He already has two belts to his name. Wouldn't it be nice for him to have a third belt to his name?
I mean, he'd be a better champ than Tommy, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, Lou Nixon would make the Rust Belt Championship a world championship. It would be a world championship. It'd be incredible. And, I mean, as I've said on here many times, Brit Death's on the rise. It's been on the rise for a while. Why not? Why not, Lou? That's what I say.
Yeah, and, you know, he's one of the forefront of making that happen. You know, he's one of the biggest names. Him and, like, Joe FX and Danny Darko and those guys are, you know, the ones that are really putting their, you know, and Margera are the ones really getting those promotions out there and getting eyes on the UK for deathmatch over here in the States. You know, I know it's already huge over there, but now really people are really starting to really take notice of what they're doing over there and tuning in for the shows and checking out what's going on, because it is a very different vibe and product that they got going out there too.
And Otis as well, by the way, has been on a tear lately. I mean, of course, you just saw he was victorious in the No Rope barbed wire match, absolutely took it to Heater. Heater's a tough son of a bitch, but Otis is just that tougher.
Just had to, you know, just prove that he's that much tougher. Well, you know, he had a big old chip on his shoulder too after all those stitches and all that.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, he proved it emphatically. And then, yeah, Mo, you said Mo, he wants some more golden RPW. Why not go for the Rust Belt Championship? So what a hell of a way to cap off an incredible card. As we've been talking here, RPW Presents Miasma is the last show of Mania Weekend. You do not want to miss this. This is, if you want your death match fill, come Sunday, April 7th to the H2O Center, you will get more than enough of your ultra-violent fill. I can guarantee you that. I'm excited. I mean, what is your final thoughts as this card has been now fully filled out?
I'm really proud of this one. You know, it's stacked end to end. You know, we got a lot of the international talent that's coming in with the guys, but more importantly, the guys that got us there, the guys that are constantly putting RPW on their back are getting those nice international matches as well. So, you know, I'm really happy with what's going on there. A lot of people are really excited for who they get to go against, because it's not, you know, the guys that are their normal wheelhouse of guys that they get to work with. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement in the locker room. The fans seem really excited about it. You know, the tickets are moving very, very well. And, you know, I have a lot of tricks up my sleeve for this thing. So don't just expect things to be even more hectic than what's advertised.
Well, you heard from Boss Man first, and I'm excited to be ringside for this one. It's been a true honor getting to film these like first few shows. I think out of the three that I've had the opportunity to film ringside for, this is probably gonna be my most favorite. It's just H2O Center. I love going there. As I've said off air, this is my very first Mania weekend that I've actually ever done. I've never done a WrestleMania weekend ever, which is kind of crazy as a wrestling fan, but getting to do it with you guys, getting to do it, just everything. But to be with RPW, because I just think you guys are special. You're on the up. There's so much you have to offer. And I think fans are coming around to that. That's the biggest thing. I think fans are coming around to the ideas you have. The shows keep getting better and better. I mean, Can the Kill, Front Row already sold out in minutes.
13 minutes.
That's insane. I mean, mind you, it's only been a tournament for now 2 years. That's the crazy thing. Like,
this is only our second one, yeah.
That's the crazy thing. And I mean, as I said, if you want a Midwest deathmatch promotion, RPW is where you look at. So bringing that Midwest death flavor to the East Coast for me a week, and I couldn't be any prouder. I think that's all I have. I mean, I think I'm just ready for Mania Weekend, ready for all the craziness, but ready for RPW especially. Any last words you have on here? As always, you're always welcome to plug everything and anything away, my friend.
If you guys want tickets, it'll be ruthlesspro.ticketleap.com/miasma. That's MIAMSA. All right. Yeah. Front rows are sold out. We have GAs going. Hopefully there'll still be some at the door. So you should be able to walk up. H2O Center holds a lot of people, but yeah, tickets are going well. So if you want to do that, or you can watch it live on IWTV, we will definitely be streaming. Expect some announcements coming your way about future shows and some King of the Kill talent being announced. We got a lot of big stuff planned this year for King of the Kill. Tickets are on sale for that as well. Night one is with Flophouse. And as always, we have 24 hours of events and stuff to do planned, just like last year, but bigger and badder this time. We got a lot more sponsors involved. There's a lot more. It's going to be giveaways and all kinds of stuff. I will say that this year's Smokeout will be something that's going to be legendary. For what's going to happen there. Severn Films is back on board for the Midnight Movie Marathon. Yes. They're going to be bringing shit tons of Blu-rays and all kinds of shirts and what have you to give away. Already got all the bands signed up, got a good solid things of bands. Fuckery Fairy Indrid is going to be doing the weapons building seminar again. So if you'd like to come and learn how to make things properly and safely, so that if you want to bring things to a show you're going to and want your gimmicks used, this is a good way to learn how to do them properly so that they will be used.
Indrid's one of the goats of like fuckery building. I'm just gonna say that right now. Like, if you want to learn from Indrid. I have learned a lot from Indrid over my years.
Unsung hero of RPW. You know, you don't see him running around because he's always in the back.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see him maybe bringing some stuff out from the back, or you know,
from time to time.
But almost everything weapon-wise you see built for RPW, it was either by him or directed by him.
Love Indrid. We love Indrid in this house, so happy he is at the helm. Like, as I said, one of the goats when it comes to fuckery building. The fuckery fairy, long live. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you heard it from Chris, King of the Kill is going to be awesome. I will be there as well. Really excited to be at my first King of the Kill. Wish I had a time machine to go back to the year one, but you can't change the past, and we don't have time machines just yet. So for now, I'll be at King of the Kill 2. Really excited to be there. You guys heard it here from me and Chris. I mean, May is just around the corner. You got an insane lineup courtesy of RPW. From myself, from Chris. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Your Dose of Death podcast.
This has been a Countout Podcast.